Hey, this is Dean Cortez from Mac Tactics. I'm here today with Nico Simon Princely. Very pleased to be speaking with Nico because he is an expert, a guru in the field of dating, and his specialty, his area of expertise is sexual technique, which is very important because all of these tools and techniques you're learning are going to help you get women into bed. That is the ultimate goal, of course, but once they're in the bed with you, how do you make sure you give her an unforgettable experience and give her great pleasure and guarantee that she wants to come back for more time and time again? So be sure to visit greatlovers.com. That's one of Nico's websites, greatlovers.com. And on that site, you can download a really cool free report on sexual technique. It's packed with tips, and it's all free. So go over there and download your copy today. So, Nico, welcome to the program. And I want to start by asking you about your own journey towards becoming more confident and more successful with women. And I'm also curious to find out how you got involved in the industry and how you started coaching men on these secrets and techniques.
I guess I got into it because in the beginning, I was really terribly unsuccessful with women. I was awful in high school, couldn't hardly even speak to girls. Had one date, the girl kind of left halfway through the date with another guy. Just pretty much sucked. So I was raised by a single mother, which I think has a big effect on it. Because I think when you're raised by a single mother, as opposed to having a dad and a mom, you don't get to see the natural male and female interactions that take place. You don't get to see them fight and make up, and you see the woman cry, and then she gets over it, and they make up, and everything's fine. You just see one side of everything. And I think that really affects the dynamics, because I think that's what contributed to me being such a quote-unquote nice guy, because I grew up seeing my mother crying over guys. And the guys, of course, you hate them because they're making your mother cry and they're not your dad. If it's your dad, you see, you don't like to see it, but you see the whole process. It goes into your subconscious and forms how you deal with women later in life. And when you're raised by a single mother, a lot of guys that I've talked to actually have this problem, and which is they're really not, guys raised by single mothers are usually not very successful with women. I've noticed this, and they usually have problems with women, and they're just not very happy in general because they really never became a man. They just didn't go through the normal process that you're supposed to go through when you grow up. So I found that out, and I began a journey on developing myself in these areas. And then I got more successful, and I've done a lot of research and study. And before that, before I became really successful with women, I was always, you know, after I got out of high school, I lost my virginity, actually, when I was about 21, on my 21st birthday. And that was one of the few times that it just naturally happened. This girl was really into me. And the funny is I wasn't really into her, which was created the natural dynamic of her wanting something she couldn't have, and she pursued me, and it was like her mission to take my virginity on my 21st birthday. So it kind of worked out for me. And I had some success after that, but it would go up and down at different times in my life. It's like I would go in strings of success, then nothing for a while. And actually, one time in my life, I went into the worst slump I've ever had, which was almost, God, it was like 18 months. And another time I had, God, it was over a year. So there's like long periods of just absolute hell and celibacy. So I wanted to see how I could make this consistent and be in more control of my social dating and sex life, as opposed to just getting lucky like guys think, well, I got lucky. See, I don't view it as getting lucky anymore. Now I'm in control. And from my perspective now, the women are the ones that are getting lucky. And partially because of that is I've written two books on sexual performance and technique, so I'm actually really good in bed. I've been studying sex since I was probably 14. Because I didn't have a dad, my mother bought me a book on sex, and I think she thought it was more clinical, but it wasn't. It was really about how to be a great lover, and I just kept buying books like that. I have almost every book ever written on sex, and I read them. So when I did lose my virginity, the girl was like, wow, you're a virgin, are you sure? So when I did get lucky enough to find a girl that would actually have sex with me, they really enjoyed it and didn't want to leave. But it wasn't that easy to get them there in the first place, so I wanted to do something about that. And I just found out that I had been going about things all the wrong way. It's like, once again, being raised by a single mother. One of the major keys to women is that they say one thing that they want, and then they respond to something entirely different. And when you see this growing up, you think, well, I want to be the perfect guy. I want to do this, this, and this. This is what they all want. Well, you find out later in life, unfortunately, that you did all of the stuff that they say they want, and they don't want you. So why is that? That's confusing as hell. Even Einstein couldn't figure out women. Einstein once said that what he wanted to spend the rest of his life doing was figuring out what women want, because most guys really don't have a clue, and that's simply because women say one thing and go after something else. They become attracted on an unconscious level rather than a conscious level. So they're saying, I want this, this, and this. I want the nice guy that'll treat me with respect and be good to me and be loyal, and he'll love me, and you know, he's easy to get along with. But unconsciously, that's not what they're actually attracted to. And there's a whole, you know, many theories and reasons about this. And a lot of it comes from the evolution of our brain through over the last 40,000 years, and what it takes, you know, for a man to be an alpha male, and women are attracted to these certain traits in men. And so that's what unconsciously attracts them. But they say something entirely different. So I spent most of my life trying to build myself into this perfect guy. And then I found out women don't want the perfect guy. They say they want the perfect guy, but they don't really want him. What they really want is the fantasy of finding the perfect guy. And you can't ever take the fantasy away from them. Because if you become the perfect guy, they no longer have their fantasy that they want to dream about. They now have it, and they're bored as shit. I went into years and years of studying this stuff, and things got much better. And I went through several relationships, long-term, short-term, dating several girls at one time, having a girlfriend for 4 years, and still seeing other girls with her consent. I don't ever cheat, and I never lie. I keep everything above board. And I've learned that women will accept that if you present it in the right way. So that's kind of how I got into this. I've been studying this stuff for a long time. I got back into this stuff years ago. I first studied some of Ross Jeffries' stuff. And, you know, his stuff does work. But if you're not working on who you really are from the inside out, it's all hollow. Because I found myself I pulled a stripper out of a club once, went home with her, but I didn't have the balls to make the move. All the NLP and hypnosis stuff worked. But I just kind of slept in her bed all night. I didn't make any moves because I was kind of shocked that it worked, and I wasn't being aggressive enough, and I wasn't in charge, because psychologically in my head I wasn't there yet. So that's why I'm not really crazy about these techniques or courses that teach you, well, you say this and you do that and you run this pattern and you do that, because it's like icing on the cake. That stuff can work, but if you're really congruent with who you are, what you want, and you're being an attractive man, you don't need to do that. I prefer to be more like a natural. I know guys have never studied anything. They pick up women left and right. In fact, they do better than any pickup artist or seduction guru that I've ever met. And I've known a lot of the guys that are legendary in the community. I'm not a big active part in the community because I've seen a lot of dysfunction in it. But I know a lot of the guys, and I've hung out with them. And there's not one that I haven't seen get shot down. There's not one that I haven't seen blow it. And I see naturals, and they blow it too, but they didn't spend 10 years studying this stuff. They just naturally do it. And if they blow it, they move on to the next one. And that's what the difference between a guy that's successful and one that's not successful is, not so much his technique as much as his reaction to it. A guy that's really having a hard time with women, usually they go in expecting failure, they fail, they feel worse, and they don't want to try again, and that leaves them nowhere.
You know, one area that I wanted to ask you about specifically is dating younger women. It's the subject of a program that I'm working on right now. And do you believe there's a different set of dynamics or principles that come into play when you're trying to interact and relate to a girl who's younger than you are?
Yeah, I think there is some differences to dating younger women. I'm actually working on something myself on both younger women and older women. And I do think there needs to be some further instruction in it, because there are little nuances that make a difference. But overall, if you have solid game with women in general, I think that it will it'll work across the board. But there are little tweaks you can do here and there. I mean, there are both advantages and disadvantages to dating younger women. As men, we're genetically programmed to be more attracted to younger women because they're young and fertile. A lot of this stuff goes back to, you know, procreation. This is how the species is here after, you know, millions of years and famine and plagues, and that's why there's 6 billion people on this planet. Or is it 4 billion or 6 billion now? I'm not really sure. But that's why we've survived, is because of the attraction and sex mechanisms. So, and we are attracted to younger women because they're fertile, can have more children. That's basically the reason why. That's why we're attracted to them. It's like it's a subconscious thing on our parts. And, you know, the things that we, you know, notice most are, you know, with the natural attraction, because the women, the younger women often have, you know, softer, firm skin and nice toned bodies. However, there's a lot of younger women that are not in great shape. I mean, I see girls all the time that are 18 that don't look as good as some 30-year-olds I know. But one of the reasons to date younger women is because of the difference the way men and women age. Men, if they take care of themselves, which a lot of them don't, but if they did, they can stay attractive for quite a long time. If you look at some of the stars around today, Johnny Depp's 40. Brad Pitt's in his 40s. Tommy Lee, he's in his 40s. Tommy Lee dates 19-year-olds a lot of the time. I know one that dated him. You know, these guys can get women of varying ages all the way down to 18. I mean, there's 16-year-olds that want to hook up with Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt. When you're an attractive man, you'll attract women of all ages just because you're an alpha male. You're sending out the signals that create attraction. But by hooking up with a younger girl, because of the way women age, a lot of them, if they don't take care of themselves, age a lot faster than men, or age, they don't look as good for as long as a man can. So if you're with a girl 10, 15 years younger than you, you know, you're going to have a partner that you're going to really be into and physically attracted to for a lot longer. Now, I'm not saying that should be the only thing in a solid relationship. It's certainly not, because I'd like to have a girl that is emotionally and mentally and spiritually compatible with me just as much as physically. So it's not the most important thing, but that is one of the benefits. If you can find a 30-plus-year-old that looks really good, I would usually prefer that, just because they'll relate to you better. They remember some of the same memories that you've had, some of the same TV shows. There's just a little deeper connection than you would get with a girl that's 20, 18, 22, 24 most of the time. There's also a few downsides of dating younger women that I think guys need to look at, because they're running around thinking, oh, younger women, oh, they're so hot. Well, they don't have much life experience. You're not really going to learn much from them. Most of the time are flaky, they're unreliable, and if they're really immature, it's just ridiculous. You're bored out of your mind sitting there talking to them, because you feel like you're sitting there with a kid, because they just don't have anything intelligent to say. Now, I've talked to some girls that are young that are totally mature, and more mature than some women in their 30s. So it's an individual thing. So you have to judge the person not by their age, but by the person, each individual person on a individual case. So once you do that, there's a lot to be said for dating younger women. However, once again, back to this, younger girls in their 20s tend to like jerks and pricks a lot more than women that are a little older. Women over 30 tend to have been gone through that, and now they truly do want a guy that's a little nicer, doesn't play as many games. If you don't like to play the games, the older women are very refreshing, because you can have a more honest relationship with them, and it's just a really great time, as long as, you know, everything else is there, the physical and the mental, emotional, all the other things. This is kind of the screwed part for guys, because your reward for being a nice guy is that you get older women that are now putting on a little weight. That's the reward for being nice. Whereas if you're kind of a jerk and a prick, you'll usually get the younger, hotter women. So, I mean, it's kind of a screwed deal if you're a nice guy. If you're looking for a relationship and the girl's 21, it's probably not going to last, because she's in an experimental age and she wants to experience life. And if you're a lot older than her, she might, she might just want a younger guy. So it all depends on the category of older man that you're in also, which I want to get into a little bit later. But that's basically my take on dating younger women.
I think there's sort of a double standard in our society where if you're a rich, famous guy, it's totally acceptable for you to date a woman or marry a woman who's way younger than you are. You know, tons of celebrities do this. It's almost expected of them. But if you're a regular guy, and let's say you're in your late 30s or your 40s and you're dating women in their early 20s, your friends and your peers might find something wrong with that, you know, think it's inappropriate, even though your male friends are probably jealous as hell, you know? So do you think there is a stigma attached to guys who want to date younger women?
Well, I think in my head, there's not a stigma, but I know in a lot of guys there is. Those are guys that have generally been brainwashed by older women. I mean, look, Jerry Seinfeld dated a 17-year-old when he was 40. Tony Randall, I don't know if you remember him. He was on The Odd Couple and many other movies for many years. When he was 75, he married a 25-year-old. They were together until he died at age 83, and they had two kids. I mean, you know, Harrison Ford is, what, 60-something? His wife's like 20, 30 years younger than him. Michael Douglas is with Catherine Zeta-Jones. George Clooney was, I don't know who he's with now, but he has a reputation of being with every hot young actress in Hollywood. And I know he hooked up with a cocktail waitress from the Palms out here, and she was a good 20 years younger than him. I don't see a problem with it. If you're going to live your life, live it on your own terms. Don't care what other people think. If someone thinks that it's inappropriate, screw them. Who really cares? It's your life. You're paying your bills. You're taking responsibility for your actions. Don't really care what other people think. That attitude alone right there will make you more attractive to women. Women hate guys that are easily controllable and guys that follow every, you know, standard society sets. That's the exact opposite of a bad boy. And that women are attracted to the bad boy for a reason, because he's not afraid to go out and stake his own claim and do what he wants and live life on his own terms. So if you want a younger woman, go out and get one. I don't care how old you are. Look at Hugh Hefner. He's 83. Now, obviously, his money and fame have a lot to do with it. But if he worried about what other people think, he wouldn't be living with three women that add up to his age, would he?
That's definitely true. So what do you think are some of the specific things that younger chicks go for in an older guy?
Okay. Well, one of the things is maturity, leadership. A lot of women are looking for a father figure. Life experience that you have, intelligence, financial stability is a big thing. It doesn't mean that you have to pay their way on everything or support them, but women are attracted to men that are financially stable. And all of this goes back to survival. One of the great attractions that women have to men is based on their survival instincts, and that is a survival, safety, and security. And that's because... And this isn't, if you look across the entire animal kingdom, it's like this. That's why there's alpha males in every segment of the animal kingdom. The female animals mate with the strongest males that will be able to provide for them, protect them, and produce the strongest offspring. When men say women are so superficial, it's entirely throughout every race on Earth. So, I mean, there's some penguins, they mate by who has the biggest pile of rocks. Women across the board are seeking this survival and security. So whether they be in the animal kingdom or the physical, I'm sorry, the animal kingdom or the human kingdom, it's basically the same thing. So back to that, an older man is generally able to provide more financial stability, security, intelligence, leadership, all of these things that women find attractive. And women obviously often like older men. And now it all depends on how much older we're talking about. But that's part of it. Another thing is, generally, young guys, well, I have to say that from what I've heard, most men in general suck in bed altogether. Like I said, I've written two books on sex, and I've surveyed over 10,000 people online anonymously about what makes a man good in bed. And I've talked to hundreds of women about this. And for the most part, most guys just straight up suck in bed. And a lot of times the guys that get the most women suck in bed. And it's not because they're pleasing them. It's because they know how to play the game. And the women get caught up in that. But they'll a lot of times tell you, the guy, well, he really wasn't that great in bed. And an older guy generally is better in bed if he's done his homework and learned and paid attention. If he hasn't, he really needs to. Because if you're going to be the older guy, if all things being equal between both guys, if they both suck in bed, she's probably going to pick the younger guy, unless the older guy is extremely financially stable and giving her an incredible lifestyle. But I don't really want the woman with me for what I can provide for her lifestyle-wise. I want a woman to be with me because she's into me and attracted to me. I would rather a woman want to be with me for purely sexual reasons than purely financial reasons, or purely just to learn from me. Because I've been in relationships like that. I've been with girls that really were into my knowledge and learning from me, but the sexual stuff just really wasn't there. I was more sexual than they were, and it just wasn't a great relationship. I had a lot of fun times, but it just didn't click on that level as well as it should have. Because that's one of the ways that you keep a woman attracted to you. If you can make her feel that, you know, the way no other man has or is capable of, you know that she's going to come back. Even if it's not let's say the girl wants something exclusive and you're not ready for that. You know, but if you're really rocking her world in bed, she's going to come back next time she gets horny, right, regardless. And that's just the way it is. It may not be what she wants. She might want more, but next time she gets horny, she's going to call you. Another thing, if you're in the dating phase and you haven't really established a relationship and she's seeing other guys, they'll compare you. If she sleeps with another guy and he's just not that good and you are, it's going to tip the scales way in your favor. I dated a girl once that we were seeing each other, but it wasn't exclusive. And she texted me one time. She said, you know, just other guys just really suck in bed. And I said, why? Did you just have sex with someone? She said, yeah. And I told him how bad he was. this was a 27-year-old woman that told me that was not a virgin. You know, she'd been around a bit. And she told me, she's like, you know, I've never had, it was the greatest sex I've ever had. She called me for months. It kind of scared her off a little bit because started getting into me too much, and it scared her. Sometimes that's the one drawback about being too good in bed. Sometimes it freaks them out because they realize that you now have a level of power over them that they may not want you to have. So I've had to learn that I have to tone it down a bit sometimes until there's a stronger emotional connection there also, and they feel like it's going somewhere. Because once you get in a relationship, if you're rocking the world all the time, it's great. But if it's honestly, with some young women, it can freak them out. So, I mean, there's a lot of young girls out there that have never had an orgasm with a man. Then, you know, they have sex with me and they have 3, 4, 5, 10. They freak out and they don't know how to react to that. They're not comfortable enough yet with their own sexuality to really experience that without it freaking them out. That is one of the bonuses of older women, is that they're really usually more comfortable with their sexuality. And two, they're much better in bed most of the time. They're less inhibited. They're a little more wild, and they have more experience. So they're actually a lot of times more fun to have sex with, as on a technical level or sexual technique wise. Whereas young women, it's fun because you're like, oh wow, I'm fucking this young girl. That's awesome. And it makes you feel vital and young again, because, you know, you're with some girl that's, 21 or 20, and there's a saying, you're only as old as you feel. I tend to think that you're only as old as the girls you have sex with.
That's very true. So what you're saying then is that guys really need to focus also not just on their pickup skills and their conversational skills, but, you know, their sex technique and their bedroom skills.
The sex is very important. And I recommend that any guy that really wants to date any woman be great in bed. And one thing they can do, I have a free report that I give. It's like 44 pages long, filled with sex tips that you can go to at greatlover101.com. It's totally free. Just sign up for my free newsletter on it. It'll send it right out to you. It's 44 pages long, covers sex tips and sex positions, and gives you all kinds of information, blows away some myths about certain things, talks about ejaculatory control, penis enlargement, all kinds of stuff. So that's totally free, and I recommend anybody that listens to this, go get it now, because that alone will help boost your sexual ability.
Yeah, that special report is excellent. I've read it myself. So moving on, Nico, can you give our listeners, and especially the guys that might be a little bit older, going for younger women, give them your top 3 techniques or tips for becoming better in bed, becoming better lovers?
Well, I gave you the 3 big ones. The 3 best things an older man can do right now is, one, if you smoke, quit immediately. I don't know what you're thinking or who brainwashed you into this, but there's nothing worse short of putting a gun to your head or injecting heroin than you could do to your body. Every function in your body is based on oxygen. And when you deprive oxygen in your body, everything works worse. It causes erectile dysfunction. You're going to be fatigued. You're not going to have stamina. You will age much, much faster. I'm very much into anti-aging. Well, I take that back. I don't like the word anti-aging. I'm very much into staying young forever. I don't believe that age is as necessary as people think. I believe it's a state of mind. I believe it's lifestyle choices, and mostly the state of mind, quite honestly. But the lifestyle choices, diet, exercise, that sort of thing. Because there are old people at any age and young people at any age. I meet guys that are 18, I'm in better shape than. And I'm actually, I don't tell my age anymore, that's part of the thing, but I'm definitely over 30. And I'm in the best shape of my life. I lift more weight than I've ever lift. I look the best. I'm stronger. I'm better in bed than I've ever been. I've improved in absolutely every way. And because I don't believe in aging, I believe in improving. And part of that is because I don't drink almost ever. I don't smoke. I don't do any drugs. And I try to avoid all kinds of toxic byproducts that they try to put into us. And I'm one of the few people I know that's not on some form of prescribed drug, because all those chemical interactions are just destroying people's health. I'm actually going about to do a course on staying young for men, which will be kind of a how to stay young, how to stay vital and young at any age, which will keep your sexual performance going, and keep you looking good. Because I do things that other people don't do, most people don't do, because I found that they work and I feel better. And one of those things is don't smoke. Number one, that's the worst thing you can destroy, the worst way to destroy your performance. And it ages you. It's one of the fastest things to age you. And which is why when you see these young girls out that are drinking, smoking, and doing drugs, these chicks, by the time they're 30, will look 40. All the girls I know that are over 30 that still look like they're 24 don't do any of those things, usually. It's very rare that you find one that parties and a lot and still looks good. It's rare. The other thing you can do is hydrate yourself. You make sure you're getting enough water every day. And by doing that means you're going to replace other liquids that you're drinking, like sodas, coffee, alcohol. All of those suck water out of your body. Those are all diuretics, especially if they have caffeine in them. Let me ask you this. Would you go buy a Ferrari and then put the cheapest gas you could find in it and the cheapest oil? No, it's going to run like crap. Well, that's what you do to your body when you're not giving it the adequate air and the adequate water. See, if you hold your breath, you can probably get away with that for, what, 3, 4, 5 minutes at the most. Some yogis can do it for 30 minutes by altering their breathing patterns and heart rate. But the average person can only live without air for like 5 minutes. You can only live without water for probably a week at the most. Food, 40 days usually. So obviously that tells you what's the most important thing your body needs. That's oxygen and water. So you need to be drinking half your body weight in ounces of water every day. Now, in certain climates, like I live in Las Vegas, the driest place in America, I drink a little bit more than that. But you take your body weight, divide it by 2, and put that in ounces, and that's your baseline for how much water you need to function every day. You start off your day with 2 huge glasses of water, and go get some oxygen in your lungs, do some little deep breathing. You're going to feel much, much better. You will start your day. I've just started doing more of the breathing, and I'll tell you, I sleep better. I don't require as much sleep. I just feel much, much better. The water I've been doing for a long time, because I can tell if I don't need enough water. There's a lot of signs that most people are in dehydration in America, because they're always drinking Cokes, or soft drinks, I should say. They're drinking coffee, they're drinking alcohol. All of those are diuretics. So we start replacing the things that are taking the water out of your body, and you put more water in your body, your body runs better. And what you're doing is your cellular waste get flushed out by this water. Cells age because they get toxic. If you're flushing out the cellular waste, your cells renew themselves and don't age as fast. That alone, those two things right there, not smoking and breathing with deep breaths, deep diaphragmic breathing, and getting plenty of fresh oxygen, and drinking water will just change people's lives. It's amazing. It really is. Because everything works off those two things right there. And if you get enough oxygen, you get enough water, you're much healthier. They even found that cancer, all forms of cancer, are caused by poor oxygenation to the cells, because the waste product is not being removed, and it causes a toxic buildup, and the cells start to not work properly. So that's what this whole alkalization, you hear people talk about alkalize for life, alkalize your body. Well, the alkalization, when you're more alkaline, you're getting more oxygen into your cells, you're removing these acidic waste products, and it makes a huge difference. Most of the diseases could be eliminated. I didn't think we were going to get into this, but most of these diseases could be eliminated if people were not in a state of dehydration and weren't putting so many toxic substances in their body. And the way this relates to what we're talking about is, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be able to have sex with hot young women for as long as you possibly can while you're on this earth? I do. If you want to, then you need to make sure your body is in good enough condition to do that. You don't want to, you know, be an older man that's broken down, falling apart, that needs Viagra to get an erection. That's not normal. We've been sold a bill of goods to be told that everything we have, every problem we have, here's a pill that will cure it. What happens when you run into these people that are on four or five different prescription medications? Usually they don't live much longer. All that chemical cocktail in their body with all their side effects and another pill to deal with that side effect starts destroying their system. So if you want to be vital and young, I mean, look at Jack LaLanne. The guy's 90-something now, and he's still vital. Hugh Hefner's 80-something, and I'm sure he takes care of himself. Now, I have heard he uses Viagra, but I know that he had a stroke many years ago, and then he started getting more into alternative stuff, and he was getting massages every day and doing more natural things to take care of his health. But if you look around, the people that Bob Del Monte, do a web search for him. He looks amazing, and the guy's in his 80s. If you look at Frank Zane, this is the sad thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my biggest all-time heroes. I've seen pictures of him now, and he's just not looking that great anymore without his shirt on. You know, he's looking kind of saggy. I don't know why he's not taking care of himself like he used to. And it's sad because this guy had the best body of all. And then if you look at like Frank Zane, who was one of his competitors back then, he doesn't look like he's 35 anymore, but he sure as hell doesn't look 65. He's toned and firmed, and he has less hair, and it's white, but he still looks vital, and he still looks alive. And if you maintain that vital, presence, women will still be attracted to you. If you have your personality and your alpha male traits, and you have your vital energy and vital presence, women will still be attracted to you at any age. So, I mean, a lot of people have this belief, well, they're getting older now, I'm not going to attract women anymore. And that's crap. It's just not true. If you keep yourself together as a man and quit thinking about I'm aging, I'll give you one more tip because I'm going to save the rest for my course that I'm putting together. But don't ever look in the mirror in the morning and say to yourself, oh God, I'm getting older, or I can't do this because I'm getting older. Every time you say that, you're programming your subconscious mind to exhibit that kind of physical reaction in your body, that you are getting older, or that you can't do those things anymore, or you can't do whatever it is because you're getting older, or I can't meet younger women because I'm older. Let me tell you something. On this planet, in this world that we have with how many billions of people we have on this planet, I'm not sure right now. I haven't looked at the latest statistic. But hey, whatever you're looking for is looking for you. If you're 65 years old and you want a 25-year-old girl, there's one out there for you, I guarantee it. If you're 45 and you want a 20-year-old, it's there. Tony Randall was 75. He married a 25-year-old. It's out there. So don't limit yourself by what you think and quit saying all these negative things about you're getting older, you're not attractive. Quit cock-blocking yourself. You're mentally cock-blocking yourself. I actually like to call it thought-blocking yourself because that's what you're doing. You're thought-blocking yourself. So stop doing that and be positive and be congruent with what you want instead of complaining about what you don't want.
Yeah, that's very true. So really what you're saying is that, your inner game and your outlook and your attitude towards women and your attitude towards yourself is where this whole process begins.
Yeah, that's one. Well, everything's thinking. Everything in this world is thinking. It's all based on thinking. All the other stuff. I've studied so many courses on dating and seduction and everything else. And most of the time I don't follow any of those damn rules. And I go out and I meet women and get phone numbers. And that's because where I'm at now is I'm congruent with who I am. I'm relaxed. I'm creating my own reality. I'm not going out there playing, little games and techniques. And I mean, occasionally, if it's a large group, I might use an opinion opener, but that kind of backfired on me the other night. because I just want to open her about tattoos. But it wasn't done in a positive way because I don't really like tattoos on women that much. And like 5 out of the 6 girls had tattoos. So it didn't go over very well, but I had a good time doing it. But it was a very good learning experience because a lot of guys would go, you know, oh my God, I got shot down. And I thought to myself, you know, that didn't work out very well. Big deal. That's the worst it could possibly feel is it didn't work out very well. That's nothing. Who cares? So I go back in and I run into some other girls that I know that are 10 times hotter. And I talk to them, and then I go out another night, and I, you know, effortlessly meet women that are opening me up and giving me their phone numbers and, you know, exchanging phone numbers. And, you know, you can't let things like that bother you. A lot of guys have this, because the guys that were with me were like, oh, did you get shot down? I said, no, I just found out what I said didn't work. It's not a big deal. That's the problem is guys, I have a friend that's an amazing natural. He's been with a couple hundred girls, and he's only like 23 now. He's in a relationship now. He does not remember the women that are not attracted to him. In his mind, every woman is attracted to him. I've watched women not be into him, but he doesn't even acknowledge it. It doesn't even exist in his reality at all. Every woman's attracted to him, and he can get any woman as far as he's concerned. Even though it's not a fact from everybody else's reality, it's absolutely one in his. It's like he has selective memory. He doesn't even remember it.
That is really interesting. You know, I think a lot of guys would do a lot better with women if they hadn't programmed themselves or conditioned themselves mentally to associate walking up to that hot chick and trying to talk to her with pain, with negative thoughts, because they're remembering the situations in the past where the girl blew them off or wasn't receptive or whatever. That's actually where studying NLP helped me make a lot of breakthroughs, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, where you learn to associate things like that, you know, walking up to a hot woman and talking to her, you learn to associate it with a different set of feelings, you know, with fun and excitement and the possibility of having a great conversation or maybe getting laid, you know, just positive thinking.
And that's what it takes is you've got to forget about all your failures, remember your successes and move on from there. I mean, you know, if you talk to someone she's not into, who cares? It's not a big deal. See, I believe I attract into my life what I want. I don't believe I'm not the guy out there desperately seeking something. I met a really cool girl a few weeks ago at a club. I was out. She's 24, and she opened me. I walked by, and she's like, wow, you're hot. She had looked at me earlier, and I looked over at her, but I didn't go over and talk to her because I was hanging out with my friends, and I wasn't really out to meet women. I was just going there for a birthday party, and she walked by, and she said, wow, you're hot. I said, thanks. I said, what's your name? And we started talking. Now, I didn't do any of these. I wasn't asking any clever questions. I wasn't, you know, playing any, you know, cocky funny or giving her negs. She opened me. I don't need to do that stuff. If she opened me, she's already interested. I don't need to take a step backwards. So I just kept talking to her. I got her phone number. We talked. She was leaving in 2 days. I called her the next day, and she couldn't make it. But the next day, we met for lunch. And so we met for lunch. At the end of the lunch, she whips out her credit card and pays for it. I go, wait a minute. I thought we'd split it, actually. I wasn't going to pay for her lunch, but I thought we'd split it. She's like, no, I'm paying for this. I invited you out. I said, oh, okay. And so we walked around the mall a little bit, and then I made a move on her. We started making out, and then I drug her into a bathroom, and we made out some more. And she's like, I really want to stop now. And I said, that's fine. So we went back out. Now, this is a girl that just said, I want to stop. Now, I don't take that as rejection. I understand what's going on. This girl actually liked me because we're still talking right now online through email. And we have really a lot in common. And she's like a really cool girl. This is like she's really pretty too. So it's like a girlfriend material girl. She wanted to maintain a level of, you know, respect, and she wanted to not look like a slut, which is basically why she wanted to stop. And I had no problem with that because I'm not coming from a place of desperation. I don't have to get laid. It's not like an urgency. Women smell that when you're desperate or over eager. So I said, that's no problem. I said, let's go back. So we kept walking around the mall. Within 5 minutes, she was asking me stuff like, what's your favorite sexual position? And she started bringing up the topic of sex. We started talking about, you know, talking dirty in bed and sex and, you know, you like your hair pulled, all this stuff. Because obviously she's thinking, well, I want to have sex with this guy, just not yet. So, you know, because she doesn't want to blow the chances. If a girl really likes you, they want to wait. And if you push it, you can blow it. They may have sex with you, but they might not ever see you again. I've made that mistake a few times because I used to always want to have sex like right away. Because probably 80% of the women I've had sex with, I hooked up with on the first night. And sometimes most of my long-term relationships, I kept seeing them because those women were comfortable enough that it didn't bother them. But I've also blown it with a few girls that I had sex with. It was even good sex. And they really had a great time, but it made them feel comfortable because it happened so fast. I mean, like, literally, like, you know, we met, she came over, and then 5 minutes later, we're having sex. And they just can't handle it sometimes. It goes so far against what the American society says is okay. They may do it, and it'll be fun for them, but it's not something they want to put in their mind, you know, when they're thinking about the relationship later down the road. So if a girl really wants to wait, I don't have a problem with that, as long as they're exhibiting attraction that they're really into me. So I used to take it as a sign as, oh, she's not that really into me. But honestly, after talking to a lot of women and learning more, when they're really into you, they do want to wait because they think, oh, I really, it's like, so actually, like, if they think you're a really great guy, oh God, I don't want to blow this. I don't want to look like a slut. I want to wait. So what I've done sometimes is I'll be less of a great guy. So they're really attracted to me and they think, oh, I don't know if I'd really want him as a boyfriend, but I'd like to fuck him. And then they'll have sex with me. Then later after we've been banging for a little bit, I'll start bringing out my deeper qualities and let them see that, oh, this guy's really solid. He's really cool. And that's usually when they fall for me, if we're in that situation, because we're already having sex. And they think, wow, he's not, you know, he actually has depth and he's intelligent and he's solid. Wow. And then depending on the situation, sometimes I try not to show my real self, which is my good qualities. You know, a lot of guys don't have the good qualities. They're all game. I actually have good qualities and I show those later because sometimes up front it prevents you from having sex. It's a really counterintuitive thing. You'd think that by showing all you're a great person, women want to have sex with you. It doesn't really work. Sexual attraction with women has nothing to do with all the great qualities that you would think it should. And this blew me away when I was really young because I spent most of my life developing myself into what I considered a solid person. And I consider the analogy I come up with is, and I know a lot of guys are like this, a lot of nice guys that are great people, solid, reliable, you know, take care of themselves, they're financially stable, and they don't do well with women because those things are not what attract women on the surface. That's not what makes them want to have sex with you. That's why they're more attracted to the bad boy that's random, that's a total prick and has no utter value in life whatsoever, really just a waste of space. But those guys get women all the time. Women don't stay around because they realize this guy's an idiot. He's not that bright. He's got problems. He's got baggage. The women won't stay around too long unless they're the really emotional type. A lot of them get hooked in a cycle, and they'll stay with those guys for a couple of years until they wise up and go, wow, I'm just an idiot for being with this guy. But those guys attract women. So what I learned is that when you're a really solid guy, like a nice guy, that's got his shit together, not just a nice guy that doesn't have anything going on, but so if you're a solid person, a lot of times that's like being solid programming. It's like you're a solid program. You just don't have a good user interface. And it's like you're like a Unix system, right? But you don't have a graphical user interface, so you're not user-friendly. So I found out that I was a solid person with a solid core programming, but I didn't have a good user interface. So I thought, okay, I need to work on my user interface, which are my social interaction skills, my attraction skills, my seduction skills. And I don't like to use the word seduction too much because it has a negative connotation sometimes. But it is a form. You need to know how to turn women on. So I already had the sexual skills, but I didn't have the social skills. I really lacked the ability to go up and talk to women and create attraction. Once I laid that ability on top of the solid programming, that was like amazing because women are like, wow, this guy is a really solid person. I don't meet many guys like this. And I could go up and talk to them, and I could create attraction. And like I said, though, but I had to be careful how much of the solid stuff I showed because they'd put me in a frame of, I like this guy. I better not go too fast. And so I don't like to put them there. I prefer women to sleep with me fast because I truly don't judge them for that. I don't think, oh, she's a slut. Because I know all women will hook up fast given on the circumstances because I know how they work. If they really like you, they're not going to. But if they don't like you that much but they're horny, they're going to do it. I'd rather them be honest with who they are and go, well, I like this guy. I want to have sex with him. And then, you know, see if there's something more there rather than having every girl wanting to wait to get to know me. You know, I just don't play that game because for me, if a girl wants to wait a while, I lose my attraction level. It goes down. I cut off a girl that I really liked. I thought this could be my next girlfriend because we'd gone out like 5 times and we still weren't having sex. And I said, I called her up before I was supposed to pick her up. I said, you know what? I'm not going to come tonight. I just don't think this is going anywhere. I said, you haven't even given me a decent kiss yet. I said, well, she's like, well, I wanted to be friends and see where it went. I said, well, then I think we should just stay friends. That's it. Because I knew what was going to happen. 2-3 weeks later, she wants to have sex. I wouldn't even be attracted to her at that point. I'd be like, I don't want to deal with it. It's just I don't like when a woman blocks my desire and my energy. If I'm attracted and we're attracted, I want to hook up, and then we'll take it from there and see where it goes. Because all my long-term relationships that have lasted over a year, even 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, we hooked up like the first night. And then we got to know each other. I like to get to know a woman that I'm having sex with. I don't like to get to know a woman and then have sex with her. That's just me. But I don't penalize them for it, and I never judge them for it. I'll give them shit about it on a joking level, but I don't really think, oh, she's a slut because she had sex with me fast. That's just not part of my mentality. I see women as sexual beings that have the same desires that I do. Now, if she's having sex with a different guy every night, that's different. That's being a slut. But if she hooks up with me fast, I don't penalize her.
Yeah. That's a very solid approach, I agree. So as far as guys who are going out there and trying to get with younger women, do you see different categories of older men?
Okay. There is the older guy that looks much younger. That's the category I fall into. Because if I shave, I look 26. Then there's the older guy that still looks attractive, but he looks older. That's like a Pierce Brosnan or George Clooney. They're probably in their 50s. Or early 50s, you can tell, you know, they're in their 50s, but they're still really hot and attractive to women. Then there's the older man that looks like the older man. All three of these guys, you know, the older man that looks like the older man is like Hugh Hefner, okay? And he's obviously in a more extreme case because he's in his 80s, but that could be 60 or 70 or whatever. All three of these guys can still date younger women, but they have to have a different approach. I look much younger, so I can interact with women like a younger guy. Guys that look like the George Clooney, he's not going to be able to get away with the same behavior that a guy that looks 26 is going to be able to get away with. In fact, it would work against him. It would look like he's trying to be something he's not. Do you follow me on that? Whereas women that would be attracted to him are going to expect him to be a little more mature, maybe a little more reserved, a little less crazy. I mean, he still wants to be crazy, you know, and not be boring, but they're gonna be with him for a different reason. They're gonna be a bit with him because he might fit their fantasy of the older guy that's experienced, that she wants to break and change from the wild, crazy morons that are her age. She wants a guy that's got some class and some can relate to her on a level that younger guys just won't. You know, she might be attracted to the young alpha male types that you know, really don't give a shit about her, but the older guy that really wants to know about her feelings and her desires and what her goals are and relate to her on a level that no man has ever related to her on is going to be very attractive to her. So if you, no matter what category you are, don't try to be something you're not. And then there's the older guy that looks older. You know, there's no hiding that he's 65, but if he, like Sean Connery, you know, but he's still been attractive to women. If you present yourself as a vital man at any age, there will be women that are attracted to you. You don't have to dress up and wear hip-hop clothes if you're 65 years old. I mean, that's just, it might just look stupid on you. But you also don't want to dress dated. You want to look classy and stylish, and you don't hide that you're mature. You know, you can't hide it. You feature it because that's what makes you different. You're the mature older man. Picasso was always dating younger women. He had like two wives and a girlfriend and And, you know, I always had like two at a time. And it's because, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't have a washboard abs. He was talented and creative. The Tony Randall thing with his wife, Heather Harlan, he married. She was 25. He was 75. She was an intern at his, I think his acting class or acting studio. Right there, he's an older man that's had a lot of experience, that's the leader of the class, so he's just the high-status male, right? And that made him attractive. He had this world of experience, and obviously he was financially secure. I think that does play more of a part when you're older, I think. And if you're not financially secure in America, you might... There's two things. One... You might want to put some of your focus on getting financially secure because that's possible just like anything else. Don't think, well, I'm this guy that's never going to make anything, but I want a younger girl. And that's bullshit. Anybody out here can make money, period. We live in a society that you just need to educate yourself and change your beliefs about money, just like you do about women, and you can become successful. Number two, if you're feeling like it's just not working for you, you might try going to another part of the world. I mean, there's other parts of the world where older men are looked upon with more value and status. If you take your American money to some of these countries, you can live like a king for much less than you live over here, with many young women vying for your attention. You know, if you go to Buenos Aires, Costa Rica, Philippines, Thailand, all of these places offer alternatives for older men. Or men of any age. So, I mean, it's not necessary for you to leave, but if all else fails, that's definitely another option. It's thinking outside of the box once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I know that you, Nico, experiment with your look a lot. You're always trying different looks and different styles. And on the subject of grooming and fashion, what are some tips that you would have for our listeners?
Yeah, I do experiment with mine. When I first moved here, I had really short hair. I grew it a little bit, and then I grew it out down to halfway down my chest, and I've just cut it again back up to my my chin. And I try experiment with wearing eyeliner, and I wear that sometimes when I go out. It works for me. It may not work for everybody. And I wouldn't recommend that guys put on eyeliner unless you can pull it off. I was actually told to do that by several guys that were really successful with women, and a girl that said, wow, you could pull off that look really well. Works for me. Does that mean it's gonna work for you? Not necessarily. I have a certain look that I can pull certain things off. I experiment with different kinds of facial hair, no facial hair, goatees, full beards, scruffy looks. I say try different things and see what works for you. That a lot of guys try to dress young. Okay, but the problem is they really blow it, because dressing young does not mean dressing how you dressed when you were young. You don't go back to wearing jean jackets because you wore them 30 years ago. It makes you look like an old fool trying to be something you're not. You don't go back to wearing a leather jacket, you know, if it's not in style. You don't go back to wearing the members only jackets, you know, from the 80s. That's going to make you look really, really out of date and show your age more than it. And it's not even your age you're showing. You're showing your lack of style. And women are very style conscious. So you want to dress contemporary and trendy, but in a way that fits you. And one of the ways to do this is to look at a celebrity that you look like and copy their style. Because they pay stylists lots of money, so they look really good. So steal their styles. Everybody does it anyway. This is how the fashion industry works. But the people that are in style follow these kind of styles and trends. Now, I used to think that was being a follower. But when I realized how much women pay attention to this and how lame it looks to wear the same things all the time over and over, saying, well, that's my style. Well, is your style working for you? If your style is working for you and you have your own style, then by all means, stick with what works. But if it's not working for you, then you need to update your style. I saw a 65-year-old guy or 60-year-old guy, or maybe he was late 50s, something in that, white hair. You know, he had an older look. And he was dressed great. He had great shoes. He had really nice jeans on that were, you could tell they were $300 pair of jeans. you know, and a nice shirt. And he looked good, but he was in his, you know, he was an older guy, but he looked good. I could see why women would still be attracted to him. You know, he's got a, he puts on a nice watch, he puts on nice pants, nice shoes, nice shirt, good grooming of the hair. You could tell he takes care of himself. And if he has a personality, you know, that goes with it, women are going to be attracted to him, even though he's older. But if you're running around looking like a like you don't know what style is and you're not taking care of yourself, I don't care what age you are, women aren't going to be attracted to you. If you're going to go after girls that are club girls, you've got to dress appropriately for what gets you in a club, which is a $300 pair of jeans, a couple $100 pair of shoes, a $70 to $80 t-shirt or collared shirt, a nice watch, you know, maybe even earrings. A lot of guys wear earrings these days. I haven't gotten any earrings yet. I'm still debating it. I might not, don't know. But you got to pull off the style. One of the tips for getting these, you're going, well, God, that's $600, $700 outfit. Yeah, it is. It says status. It says, I belong in this club. And the doormen see it too. When you walk up like that versus a guy that's not dressed well, that's why those guys get in. I've gone out of town cities. I didn't even know any of the doormen anywhere. I walked up to the head of the line. I looked at the doorman. I waited patiently, didn't say anything. And he said, yeah, go on in. Never seen the guy before in my life. It's because I looked like I belonged there and I felt like I belonged there. And I knew, and I was dressed the part. So that's, you know, stay in that kind of style. Now, a tip for saving money, eBay. Go to the store and try on all the clothes. Get your little camera out. Take pictures of the tags so you know what the style name is. Style of the jeans and the t-shirts and everything else. And then go buy them on eBay and you'll save about 50%.
That's an interesting tip. You know, something else I wanted to ask you about, Nico. One thing I've seen with some students of mine who've read Mac Tactics, they get all psyched up and excited, and they're using these tools to go out there and talk to women on a whole new level and meeting women they wouldn't have normally met before. And a lot of these guys, within a few weeks, end up meeting one hot chick and get totally focused on her and want to lock her down and make her their girlfriend. But the bad part is that these guys, you know, their confident edge that they've gained through this material goes out the window. They revert back to their former wussy self, and they're worried about trying to please the girl and hold on to her, you know? And that's where relationships often completely fall apart and the girl loses interest. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, they have to get out of the scarcity mindset and desperation mindset. As long as you're desperate and coming from scarcity and desperation, in any area of your life, you're pushing away everything you want. It's not going to come to you because you're leading with these feelings of desperation, and women smell that and they will run like crazy. So you can't run out. Like, guys do this all the time. A friend of mine just told me, actually a girl that I've been dating, but we're starting to see other people, and she's told me about a guy that came to town and hung out with her, and he's like constantly pawing her and trying to get with her, and it just turned her off so much. This is so funny. She stayed at his house and came over and spent the night at my house while he was there. He said, you sleep in this other room. You're welcome to stay here. And when he went to sleep, she slipped out and came over here. And she's like, I just couldn't be around. He was driving me nuts. And it's like he just wouldn't stop. And it's like he didn't give it any time for the attraction to build. He was just like all over me. Women hate that. And that's because he's coming from a place of desperation. And it's funny because I met the guy before and I could tell right off the bat that he was like that. He's a nice guy, but apparently not that nice because he didn't respect her wishes. And see, he wasn't a bad boy. He was just being a creepy guy. And you don't want to be that. So that's another thing guys do. But let's go back to the original question. You're dating the girl. You really like her. Now all of a sudden you want her to be your girlfriend. It's been like a week. First of all, that's too soon. I date girls for 3 months at least before I would even consider being their boyfriend. Because I want to see other girls. Because you want to know something? This girl may not be what she cracks up to be. I met a girl a couple of years ago. I was just, oh my God, I thought everything was perfect. This is the one. You know, she's going to be exactly what I want. And I kept myself controlled because I didn't want to rush her like that. And she told me, every guy wants to put me on a shelf. Every guy wants me all to himself. So she told me that, so I obviously wasn't going to go there. So I played it like I normally want. But the thing is, she turned out to be a totally opposite of what she presented. I found out she did drugs. I found out She lied to me about things. She was still seeing her ex. There was just all kinds of crap. And she ended up going and living with him because he was being Captain Save-A-Ho and wanted to pay all her bills and say, come live with me. And you're going to, and you won't, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. I'll take care of everything. I couldn't compete with that. First of all, I wouldn't. I don't want to be that. And she even said it to me. She said, I don't need a Captain Save-A-Ho. Did she end up with him? Yes, she did. But she left him 7 months later. From what I saw, she never, and I looked at her MySpace profile, she never ever changed it to, never put a picture up saying, oh, this is my boyfriend. She obviously was there out of convenience. I dated another girl that was 21, and we dated, and then she just kind of faded away. I'm like, I wonder what happened. Well, now she's getting married. Well, the guy was probably more of what she wanted, and he was willing to fly her around and take her on trips all over the place. They went to Cancun, they went here, went there, you know. He was willing to give her a lifestyle that I was not willing to give her. So is that going to bother me? No. I'm happy for her. She was a really sweet girl, great personality, and I'm happy she found someone she's with. But why am I happy? Because I'm not living from scarcity. I'm not mad. I'm happy for these women if they get what they really want, because I know what I really want is out there and it's on its way to me. When you have that, come from that mindset, you're not in that scarcity mode any longer. And you're not holding on to him. When you're scarce and you want to hold on to the woman, this is the only one I can get. I can't get any more. And you turn into that, you get needy and you get possessive and you get jealous. She's going to run for the hills. Because that's what guys do. As soon as they get a hot girl that their attention, this is the one, and I got to hold on to her. You can't do that. You got to play it cool. And what about reverting back to the wussy, guys get lazy and start to act like they used to act sometimes. You can't do that. You have to maintain what she was attracted to. You can't pull a bait and switch on her. You can't be the alpha male that she's attracted to and then turn into the wussy once you think she's your girlfriend. She's going to lose attraction. That's like, would you like a girl that was 109 pounds, toned body, sexy, and now she's your girlfriend, she gains 25 pounds? No. That's not what you signed on for. Well, that's not what she signed on for. She signed on for the guy that was authoritative, and a leader, and really, you know, kind of a challenge, and then you turn into the wussy that kisses her ass all day long, you just pulled a bait and switch on her. Of course she's going to leave.
Yep, that's what happens. So, Nico, can you give us some stories from your own personal experience about women you've dated who were older, younger, the different ages of the women you've been with, and some stories that our listeners might be able to learn from?
When I was in my early 20s, I always dated older women. I when I was 22, I dated a girl that was 24. When I was 24, one that was 28. When I was 27, I dated a woman that was 37, in fact. And she was the most immature of all the women. Then I started dating only younger women. And now 90% of the time, not always, because the girl that's been closest like a girlfriend to me is in her 30s. But I've actually not been fully committed, and I have seen other people while I've dated her. And most of the time, women that I have dated are much younger, and probably 90% of the time now. Most recently, a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, a couple 21-year-olds, 24-year-old, my ex-girlfriend was 21 when we met. The one before that I was dating was 20, and the one before that was 26. So they're always, almost always, a little bit younger than me now. And a lot of times I've had women contact me online that are younger than me. I actually do a lot of my meeting online. I meet women online, and I've been very successful with that. And I've actually put a course together on that, and where I would teach men on how to pick up women online. In fact, that's the name of the website, which is pickupwomenonline.com. And I have a free report on there that if you go there and sign up for the newsletter, which is also free, I'll send you a report that will tell you my 3 best ways on how to get women to respond to your emails. And there's all kinds of, it will also give you links to my blogs and my other websites and a newsletter that will give you information like I've been talking about in this interview. And it's really informative, and any guy that wants to learn more about dating in general or online dating, I would suggest just go to Pick Up Women Online and sign up for the newsletter. And back on the sexual performance, make sure you go to greatlover101.com and get the free 44-page sex tip guide, And I've also written a book on penis enlargement, ejaculatory control, and sexual technique. These are thrusting techniques, and most women don't have orgasms during intercourse. However, most of the women I have sex with have orgasms during intercourse because I did a lot of study and research, and I learned how to give women orgasms during intercourse. And I've written an ebook that covers penis enlargement, ejaculatory control, thrusting techniques, herbs and supplements that work like Viagra and keep men sexually functioning at any age, and that is sold at greatlovers.com. I've also written another book, which is how to give women ejaculatory orgasms, which is basically how to give women squirting orgasms and G-spot orgasms, and that is at femaleejaculations.com. And basically, that's it.
All right, well, there you have it. Nico, it was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much.
Guys, make sure to check out Nico's websites. They include greatlover101.com and greatlovers.com. Get that free report. It's packed with information. And as always, good luck out there putting these tactics to work. This is Dean Cortez signing off.